a brief pause to switch the size of the tape. And while we were taking a break, you brought me a couple of interesting pieces of newspaper material. First, you brought me a small article that talked about a puppet show that you gave at the Colored Library when you were in high school. And
yes.
You explained to me. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
All right. There was a sorority, the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. They sponsored cultural activities for the students at Stevens Lee, and they were also faculty members at Stevens Lee. So since I like to tell stories and make puppets, they asked me to give a puppet show and to teach other children how to make puppets at the Market Street Branch Library, which was really the colored library. We were not allowed to go up to the Pack Square Library because that was the white library.
Hmm. And you were saying? Oh,
okay. Well, at that time, we did not, at least the students were not aware of that division. We just thought we had our library and the white people had their library. But I was saying that if I knew then what I know now, I would have gone on up to the white library to try to check out books and to learn. So it was just a matter of just not knowing about the barriers that were set up in our community.
Thank you for bringing that up. And also, while we're on break, you remembered that you were married to Wilbur Mapp in 1963.
Yes.
And you recalled that recently he was commissioned to do, he's an artist also.
Yes.
And he's a professor at Livingstone College.
Yes.
And you were saying that he recently was commissioned to do a bust of the original four demonstrators who did the sit-in in Greensboro.
Yes. They did it.
And you showed me an article that was written about them. So where is this bust located now?
It's located in Ashbury Park in Greensboro, and one or two of the sit-in persons were also from Asheville, so they had been friends for a long time.
Really? Which two were from Asheville? Do you remember?
Okay, let's see, I believe it's Ezell Blair and I'm not really sure, but
so Ezell Blair, that's interesting.
I believe so.
We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I want to ask you, you're an educator yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You teach art in an elementary school.
I do.
And can you tell me a little bit about what the difference between teaching in an integrated school now and having them most of your education in segregated schools?
Well, the difference in teaching, now the atmosphere is not as much like a home-like atmosphere as it was in the segregated schools. We all felt a oneness in the segregated schools. We felt that we had some kinship. But now, in the integrated schools, there's always that feeling of a barrier or a division. And there's always that feeling that the whites have a feeling of supremacy and that we are somehow not quite what they are. And that we should be grateful just to be in the same schools with them. And when we see that they're really just people, and some of them have some of the same problems that we have, and some of them can't learn as well as we can learn, then somehow we see through that falsehood, that they're just people like we are.
And what ways do, when you speak of the white spelling superior, are you talking about teachers or students?
Teachers and students.
Oh, really?
So yes, yes.
What ways do they exhibit that type of feeling?
Well, they have a feeling that they should always be first, or that they should always be the leaders, and that they should always be the spokespeople. And they feel that anytime we want to show that we are proud of our culture, that that's somehow a threat to their superiority.
So do you think, I know this is a generalization, but that white teachers tend to treat black students differently than white students?
One big thing is that the white teachers just tend to spend more time with their own race. They spend more time teaching the children of their own race. And it seemed that the black children were maybe in sandboxes or in the halls or on the playground more.
Meaning they get sent out of class.
Yes. And not really in the teaching environment as much as the whites. And I think that's why we have so many dropouts and so many black children not really graduating from high school. Just in the past couple of years, the state has put out what they call the ABC plan that's helping this situation. The ABC plan is an accountability plan, and all students, no matter what race, creed, or color, should acquire 1 year's learning in 1 year's time. So then that's taking the little black children out of the sandboxes, out of the hallways, and off the playgrounds, and all teachers are really striving to teach all children because the schools are being held accountable.
How do you handle teaching children about racial differences in your classrooms?
Well, in the time that I have to teach them, the best way that I can show them about equality is just to treat them all the same and give all of them the same opportunity to learn, and just not show any differences because of their color.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the charter school movement?
I see this as a way to give more opportunity for creativity and to give our community a chance to get back to some of the unity and to teach more about our culture if we can key in on this charter system. But I understand that there's not as much money allocated to charter schools as to the other public schools, so that will be a problem and will probably put us back to where we were when there were only segregated schools.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think that there's a way that public schools can achieve the type of caring atmosphere that was achieved in the segregated schools without resorting to charter schools?
Well, the ABC plan is really helping, and I understand that this is the state's last effort to try to bring about equal education for all children, and I do see it helping. And the way we're going into more of a melting pot situation, I think that there is no other alternative but to provide the best nurturing atmosphere for all children. So I can see things coming together with the way that society is changing.
Asheville seems to be a really interesting town to me. Some people characterize it as really progressive in the area of social relations between people. And I'm wondering, I mean, you've been here most of your life, not all of your life, but you've also lived some other places. Have you seen a lot of progress, and how would you characterize Asheville politically or in terms of race relations?
Well, I think that some of what seems to be growth and improvement and progress is just on the surface. I believe deep down that there's not that much progress, not that much togetherness. The coming together so far has been shallow and not really based on really concrete growth. A lot of it is pretending. A lot of it is just shallow and not really of any real value or depth.
Do you think black citizens of Asheville have any more political power now than they did?
No. There are a lot of political games. When we have black leaders that really could make a difference, I believe they are shut down or ostracized as quickly as this political system can get rid of them. Those that are allowed to take a seat are those that sort of blend in with what already exists.
Just briefly before we close, you were telling me a little bit about what's going on with your neighborhood.
Yes.
And how you guys are trying to fight that they're going to redistrict.
Yes, they want this area to be business zone. They want to rezone it as business area, and that means that all of our old homes that we have lived in and that we have this feeling of community and love for will be done away with, and will be pushed out to I don't know where. And with what they can give us for our land, probably would not be enough for us to continue with the lifestyle that we have enjoyed here in this community.
And this is a predominantly black community.
Well, it has been for a long time now. There have been a lot of whites moving in, but after the economic benefits of urban growth.
So So have you so far received much support from the community for trying to maintain this as a residential neighborhood?
Well, we've just started this week. We just found out about some of the rezoning. So we've just started this week to stand up to preserve our community as it is, as a residential area.
Are you optimistic about the outcome?
Well, I've known for at least 15 or 20 years that the plans were to make this business district. So I feel that maybe a lot of what we are just being told about has already been set in motion, but we're going to do what we can to save our community.
Okay. Any parting thoughts on any of the subjects that we've covered before we end this interview? Stevens Lee, civil rights, teaching in the community of Asheville.
Well, I think that we just have to remember that God created all, that He is sovereign, He's over all, He's ruler of all, and that if we depend on God to lead and guide us and direct us, He will continue to provide for us. He will provide a good life for us, a good education for us, a good home and family life, and a good community life. So we just have to continue to pray and ask for God's guidance, and with God we will prevail.
Thank you, Mrs. Leverett.